Welcome back for the second Supercoach Coach preseason podcast of season 2020. My name's Marcus and I'm joined again by FB Donkey. Welcome back, mate.
G'day, mate. Good to be back again discussing rucks, trying to work out what the best strategy is today.
Only one more week until we get to see some preseason AFL men's games as well. So looking forward to that. The last show that we're recording without seeing a little bit of play. Are you going to any of the preseason games, Mark?
At this stage, I don't have any specific plans, but that could definitely change. What about yourself, mate?
Well, yeah, I'll certainly try and get down for at least that Bushfire Appeal game. I live pretty close to Marvel Stadium, so anything that comes by that way, I'll try and go to. But, of course, the preseason game's all about playing out in communities and a little bit further out. So normally, I only catch a Vizzy game here or there. A bit harder to catch some of the Geelong games, unfortunately. All right, Mark, we're talking about rucks this week, and most of the conversation will be centered around Grundy and Gawn because they are the two standout ruck options, which is a bit of a repeating theme from last week where there was a fair clear standout top eight midfield options as well. But before we get into the ruck show, a few quick plugs as we do each episode, and we'll start off by plugging our Patreon campaign. Patreon.com/supercoachcoach. If you've not heard of Patreon before, it's a platform that you can, similar to Kickstarter, pledge to creators. And essentially, once a month, however much you pledge, it will be tipped into our coffers to help out with the running costs of the show and so on. We very, very much rely upon our Patreon support to be able to continue. So thank you to all our existing Patreons and any new Patreon supporters. We also record some bonus content for our Patreons that we put out each week, including a little short bonus, which we'll do after the Ruck Show this week. And don't forget, as a Patreon, you'll be enrolled in our Patreon group, which is eligible for our Patreon prizes as well. So we gave out some prizes to the top overall scorer and the highest weekly scorer in our Patreon group. So if you'd like to get involved in that sort of competition, get bonus content, and also say thank you to us, join up. Patreon.com/supercoachcoach. Together with this podcast and the podcast notes, I also post a link to join our Supercoach Coach group, which anyone can join. So if you want to keep track of the community and have your name read out and called out when you do well throughout the season, make sure you join our Supercoach Coach group. And I also post a invite link to our Discord group, which is a chat server essentially. So if you're looking for a place to chat a little bit more Supercoach with the SCC community, you can get involved in that as well. All right, Mark, let's jump straight into it. And as I mentioned, we'll start with Grundy and Gawn, our top two rucks of 2019 and indeed of 2018 as well. They're basically very, very similarly priced at 700K. So basically the most expensive players in the game, more expensive than any of the midfielders that we talked about that last week. And most of us will be going in with two of these players. I guess a bit more question marks with Max Gawn, who has had a slight medial strain during the preseason. But Brody Grundy averaged 130 off 22 games last year, and Max Gawn 128 off 21. If I remember correctly, there were some injury scares over one of these players last year as well. Was that Grundy or Gawn, Mark? Do you remember that?
I think it was something to do with Grundy coming into the season, and that really didn't play out as well. You would have been pretty shattered if he didn't start Brody last year. 130.
So are these two just set and forget players? Can we finish this podcast as soon as 5 minutes in? Typically, in the past, we've recommended when there have been two standout players like Grundy and Gawn, which was the case last year, that you just lock the two in. It paid off last year. Will it pay off again this year, Mark?
Well, I think if I remember the Ruck Show from this time last year, I was looking for any reason possible not to pick the two of them. Trying to figure out a way that I could get around that. And I wasn't able to figure out one, so I ended up just taking both of them, and that obviously worked out. But 1.4 million is a lot to play for two players and on the same line. So I'm, again, starting this preseason thinking, is there a way that I can get around this? Is there a way that I can get a 500,000 ruck that will get within sort of 10 points of Gawn? Or, because for me, Gawn's the one that's up for grabs. I think Grundy is just an absolute lock, 130. 2 years in a row, played 22 games. You just can't go past that, I don't think. Whereas Max Gawn, a little bit of an injury scare in the preseason, had sort of gone up and down in previous seasons. So little bit more, not that there's much doubt, but just a little bit more doubt on Max Gawn than Brody Grundy. So, yeah, if you can come up with a reason why I shouldn't pick him, I am all ears, and I'm definitely interested in exploring that.
Yeah, and we'll spend most of this show exploring those options and talking through the risk factors of the players that we might bring in instead of Max Gawn, but I agree with your overall assessment. Brody Grundy is your absolute lock. If there's one player that you want to start off with the season, locking in as a sort of a captaincy, vice captaincy option, which you're willing to pay a little bit more extra money for, Grundy is absolutely that man. As we've already mentioned, these two are higher scoring than midfielders even. So considering that and the discrepancy between the top two and the rest of the rucks, you're really, really very much incentivized to lock in Brody Grundy. Gawn will probably be 80% to make most teams, and we'll spend the next 20, 30 minutes now exploring the alternate plans if you want to take a risk against Max Gawn. I'm assuming either way, though, Mark, by the end of the season, you're wanting both the Gawn-Grundy combo.
Probably that's something to take into consideration, especially if they end up scoring as they are. Like it is hard to think that they represent value at their current price. They, in regards to potentially averaging more than they did last year, I don't think that I could see Max Gawn averaging more than 128. Grundy potentially could go up a little bit, but there's not much room to grow from there, right? Like even into Ablett territory at his best, there's not a heap of room to grow at 130. So one of the reasons that held me back last year, or that I was looking for a way around it, was there hasn't been a long history of the same two rucks dominating 2 years in a row and playing out the seasons. And so we've just seen that, right? So they've gone 1 year, they've done the second year, between them they've missed one game, and they've averaged over 127 in all four of those averages. So the chances of that happening three times in a row seems a little bit low to me. But I think that what I'm trying to predict is like form, injury, something that might be unpredictable. It's just like I'd be surprised if we're sitting here at the start of next year going, okay, well, they've averaged over 127 and played 22 games each again. So there is some doubt there.
And I agree, when you look at sort of that longer run form, there is cause to potentially pause. But one of the redeeming factors is both Grundy and Gawn are still relatively young. So you're more reliant on, as you mentioned, something unpredictable like injury or suspension to cause that disruption, more so than those two dropping off by themselves or because of their team's play. I think maybe another thing to consider, even though, as you said, over that longer course, it makes sense that it's unlikely for that to be repeated 3 years in a row. Once the event has already occurred, sort of flipping two heads in the two spins prior doesn't necessarily affect your odds of hitting heads or tails in the next coin flip. So I think sort of season by season, Grundy and Gawn, I still think likely.
This is totally gambling and flipping like that, though. Like since I've been playing, and I think maybe before that, we haven't seen evidence of this happening before, just because I think that potentially the ruck role is a pretty difficult role to play on your body, and it can have a fair bit of wear and tear on you. So it is hard for ruckmen especially to just back up those huge scores. So that's probably not a reason to not start either of them, just because you don't know which one that's going to affect, or which one would potentially drop off. I think that one of the real interesting questions, because realistically, like, the podcast is, do you just go with these two, right? Like, that's the most important question to answer. And something I was looking at in my own team was I was looking at bringing in Tom Mitchell. So Mitchell is, and I think that you need to compare them across positions. So Tom Mitchell's 70K cheaper than Gawn, but coming off about his average, but coming off a broken leg as well. So if I can justify picking Mitchell, I should probably just be picking Gawn, potentially.
I think another thing to think about when we are evaluating the Gawn alternatives is whether or not you go for a true step ladder position, or you're taking a punt on somebody who offers some value and is somebody that you'd look to keep for the rest of the season. So Todd Coldstein, as an example, averaged 112 off 22 games last year. We've seen him do more than that in the past, get close to that Gawn-Grundy territory. I would be much less confident taking a punt on him returning to those heights versus picking a stepladder player who offers value today so that I can pick, let's say, a Tom Mitchell over a Max Gawn, but ultimately with the view of trading out that stepladder player to bring Gawn in later down the track, because I don't think that you would want to cop potentially losing points to all the Gawn owners over the course of 23 rounds.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And part of what we need to talk about, right, is you would need Gawn to drop off for that to be possible in a way. Like, if he keeps a $700,000 price tag, and I know that it sort of adjusts once the rookies start coming up a little bit, so that will come down. Trading in players over $650,000 is extremely difficult during the season.
Yeah, it's a good call. And generally what ends up happening, Mark, is that you're unable to hit that level of premium until you get to the buy cycle where you get three trades for a single week. And that's when you can generally potentially do a double down, single up to hit a Max Gawn type player.
Yeah, and that's a long time to be without Maxi Gawn if he keeps going at his same scoring potential.
All right, so with sort of what we've covered in mind, let's look at the next rung of players down. As I already mentioned, I'm a little bit more hesitant to take the risk on some of these guys, but we've got Todd Goldstein, as I already mentioned, at 609K, averaged 112 last year. We've got Rowan Marshall, who had a huge breakout last year as well. He averaged 110 across 20 games at 600K. And then we've got Scott Lysett, who also had a career high average, 101 off 18 games for Port Adelaide at 551K.
Well, I definitely agree with you that if I was not going to pick Gawn, I'd want to go for a value option. And these guys are probably the ones that don't present the value. Goldstein, I would definitely rule that out. If you're going to pay over $600,000, I think you just get Gawn, especially given Goldstein's age, even though he did come home very, very strongly at the end of last year. Marshall, totally ruled out by having recruited Ryder for me. That just going to take some ruck time off him. So I think that just caps his ceiling a little bit. You want someone to have their sole ruck job. And that's where potentially Lysett gets interesting. So he's lost Ryder. And in the games where Ryder didn't play last year and he was the number one ruck, he averaged, I think, 125 over five games. That was with a couple of really, really big games. I think he had three games over 150 last year. So, but the problem with Lysett is hasn't played 22 AFL level games in quite a long time. Very underexposed into being that sole ruck. I know Laddams is still there and he did quite well at different points last year. So I think there's still a little bit of doubt at his role and his 551. So if he was 500, I'd be a lot more interested. But as you said before, I think if you're not going Gawn, I wouldn't be just trying to save a little bit of money by not going Gawn, because it could be 20 points difference and you're only saving 140,000.
And 20 points over the course of 22 scoring rounds is 440, which is a lot of points to give up to your max team scoring ceiling. All right, let's look at the next rung of players then, Mark. And these guys have actually scaled 110-plus averages in the past. Last year, due to injury or sort of old age or a combination of, they've dropped off a little bit. But we've got Matthew Kruser, who averaged 97 across 15 games last year at 529K. Steph Martin, who hasn't really got that high-scoring record over the last few years now. He had 92 across 22 games at 501K. And potentially one of the more exciting options, who presents a little bit more of a discount, is Nick Natt. He only played the three games, averaging a 94, so he's coming with a bit of a discount. He's priced at 458K. And if there's a guy that can average 115-plus, it's certainly Nick Natt of the six non-Gawn options that we've discussed so far. What do you reckon about Nick Natt, Mark?
Yeah, out of the three that you mentioned, he's definitely the only one I'd consider. And realistically for me, if I don't go Gawn, he is probably number one candidate. Mm-hmm. I would almost like Gawn to be injured so that I could pick him, because I think at 450, there's a ton of value there, like compared to a lot of other positions around the ground. He's so exciting to watch. I'd love to have a West Coast Eagles player. And yeah, I think he can average 105 to 115, anywhere in that sort of range. So would absolutely love to pick Nick Natt in my team. The downsides are that he hasn't played 22 games in a season since 2010. Long time, and hasn't played 20 games in a season since 2015. So he's missed a lot of footy in the last 4 or 5 years. They will almost certainly rest him at some stage, you think, and just protect him a little bit.
He's got Hickey likely to play in that team with him. Nick Nat's always had sort of low time on ground. I'd really love to pick him. I really, really would. There's probably just enough factors against him, and he's just not cheap enough for to outweigh the Gawn selection. But he's definitely in consideration for me.
I think I'd need to see ripping preseason form. The groin's no longer hampering him. His fitness, meaning he's no longer playing 60% game time to get through a game, to have some confidence at that price point. As you mentioned, Mark, under 400K and presenting a bit more value, you'd be a lot more tempted. But at that price point, you do need him to probably be a 115 plus player or 110 at the very least to negate the risk of Max Gawn continuing to knock out 125s in spite of an interrupted preseason.
Yeah, there could be some game now, there where, sorry, Nick Nat sort of gets up to 550 to 600 with a big game and Gawn has a few off games to start the season and does come down and you can sort of switch him out. But even then, it sort of gets in the way of your upgrade process, just kind of side-swapping premiums. So, yeah, it's pretty tricky to do.
Yeah, and that's a very good point that you bring up, Mark. A player like Nick Nat, you're not really going to look to trade out until you hit that buy cycle period where you get those additional trades to burn, because when you're in that upgrade cycle, as you mentioned, Mark, you don't really want to be side-swapping a premium like Nick Nat because it means you can't do the one up, one down to continue the upgrade cadence. So you're trading out a premium for a better premium, but elsewhere – teams which already have Max Gawn are moving from a rookie to a premium while you spend an extra week doing that. So it's definitely a very good consideration. And if you pick Nick Nat, there's a good likelihood that you would, unless there's, you know, a freak game where Gawn sort of has a really poor one and you can bring him in for real cheap, or Nick Nat has an absolutely huge one and you get a ridiculous spike in price, you're likely to hold on to Nick Nat for about half a season or until he gets injured. Now, the next rung of players that we're going to talk about, Mark, are players that can offer ruck forward flexibility. Now, the upside to picking a guy like this as your starting R2 is that you can move them into your forward line to finish off either as your F6, but potentially also as a swing cover player at the end of the season. So that reduces the pressure on that player needing to stay in your team as a permanent ruck two, and so potentially makes them an easier starting option instead of Gawn, and one that will also provide you a easier path back to bringing in Max Gawn to your team. So we've got Patrick Ryder, who, as you mentioned, Mark, has now moved to the Saints, averaged 83 last year off 17 games at 450K. We've got Jonathan Segler for the Hawks, 77. His average of 15 games, 417K. And then a bit more of a dark horse, we've got Jonathan Patton coming off a year where he did not get on the park at all, has now moved across to Hawthorn at 337K. What do you reckon, Mark? Any of these three players take your fancy? I know we've complained a little bit in the last couple of years about there not being a great ruck forward option. Lysette turned out to be a good one last year, but wonder whether we'll have the same occurrence this year, Mark.
So Lysette owners got burnt pretty badly from injuries later in the year, or dropped. I think he got dropped for a game as well. So even he didn't work out amazingly well. Ryder, definitely not too old for me, and is just declining, and has Marshall competing for sort of ruck time. Patton, I just think is just too expensive from a like a year and a half off footy. I really expected him to be a little bit cheaper. If he was 240, which I sort of wouldn't have been surprised if he was at that price when I logged in, he would be a good chance of making my team. But at that price, on a player that his highest ever average is 80 and has had a lot of durability concerns and hasn't played footy in a long time, I think he's really, really difficult to pick at 337. If you're playing 337 for someone like Dev Smith or something like that, they have to become premiums. There's just, you can't have them averaging just a bit below premiums, and Patton really has never got anywhere near that level. So definite no for me. Segler is probably one that is actually in genuine consideration for my team. With McAvoy looking like he's moving back, that does seem to indicate that Segler is likely to be the number one ruck at the Hawks this year. And if he is, then there's potentially a I don't know, a 90 average in there. That is a big step up from where he's been. He had three games without McAvoy last year. He got 87 and 110, but in the other one he got 46. So there's some signs there that he could be all right, and he's definitely in consideration for my team as someone that could potentially back up that 1 week missing ruck. And if you can average 90, you'd sort of do all right out of it. So probably not an R2 for me, but definitely in consideration.
Not an R2, meaning where would you start him instead, Mark?
Forward line.
Right, interesting. Okay, so you like him enough that you might pick Gorn and still pick Segler in your forward line is what I'm hearing out of that.
Just at the moment, maybe I'll change my mind, but I don't think he's likely to put up numbers big enough to be permanent ruck for the year. And he's too close in price to Nick Nat to pick sort of Segler over Nick Nat, I think, even though there's that extra flexibility around trading. But, yeah, definitely someone that at $400,000, like there's not a lot of $400,000 forwards that are going to average 95. And so, definitely not in my team, but someone that I'm strongly looking at.
Well, I don't think we have to look really far to see huge, huge jumps in Supercoach average off playing that number one ruck position. In recent memory, you have Rowan Marshall last year, Lysette last year as well, when he finally moved into that sole ruck role. We saw Riley O'Brien also do something similar, and even Jared Witts from a couple of years ago. So even the players that look pretty underwhelming when they are having to play that ruck forward floating role can suddenly make those huge, huge gains moving into the ruck. So that's an interesting call, Mark, and I'm sure we'll revisit Jonathan Segler as the year as the preseason goes on, and maybe even in the forward line, as you say. Now, the next rung of players are a section I'm going to term follow the crowd. So we did something similar with the midfield last week. I'm just looking through the top selected ruckmen minus the rookie options. We've got Grundy at 66%, Gorn at 29%. The next highest is a player that we haven't yet talked about. He's one that's moved teams, and that's Sam Jacobs. Went from Adelaide after being succeeded by Riley O'Brien, is now across at GWS. He's in 14% of teams at time of recording. He averaged only 80 off five games. He's got a big, big discount as a result of that, though, at 348K. What do you reckon, Mark? Sam Jacobs? Tempted at all by him?
How much is he? 347.
Yep.
What do you think he would need to average to be a good pick?
105 and not miss a game until you're ready to get rid of him.
Okay, so if that's the standard, then I'd say that's impossible because he's only averaged 105 plus twice in his career and he hasn't done it for 5 years. He does have a really good durability record. Like for a ruckman, it's an awesome record. But I think we've seen with his age that there has been a decline lately. And you've got the Mumford factor. Like Mumford's still on that list and you would expect him to play some games at least this season unless Jacobs like really starts dominating and playing very, very well. Maybe not impossible. Maybe that was a strong word, but I think very unlikely to hit those sort of levels.
Well, do you think that that's a fair mark, 105, to be able to pick Jacobs?
Well, it depends what happens with Gorn. If he averages more than 125, Jacobs averages 95, then you're losing 30 points a week. So I reckon that the pass rate is a little bit higher with the fact that Gorn can average so much. So, I think it's reasonably fair. And again, you'd be looking at probably doing a Jacobs to Gorn swap at some stage, right?
Yeah, agree with that. I think he's not really priced at 80 because he got a little bit of a discount. So I agree with you. If Gorn didn't present such a potential high upside, you would probably take him averaging 100 and be okay with that as long as he stays on the park, which from a durability point of view, we're a bit more confident about. Provides value, can hit 100. That's not too bad. But when you're comparing yourself against a guy who's averaging 130 and there's no other way to get him on field because there's only two spots in that position, you have all of a sudden got to clear a little bit of a higher bar.
So surely we don't see Mumford and Jacobs in the same team.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Neither of those players seem like they could be very effective elsewhere on the pitch. The players after that from a selection point of view are Nick Nat at 14%, Rowan Marshall at 8%, Jonathan Patton is actually the sixth highest right now outside of the rookies at 7%. And then you've got Riley O'Brien next, who we haven't discussed yet. He's in 6% of teams, averaged 95 last year, was a revelation for those that brought him in last year or started with him. Now, even if he wasn't on field, the value that he clocked up on the bench was immense for the upgrade period. 517K is his starting price point, and that puts him in a similar bracket to some of the players that we're dismissing. You know, it's a lot to pay if you're not paying for Max Gawn. Could you see yourself going near Riley O'Brien, Mark?
I could see him potentially working out okay, but I couldn't see myself picking him there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think a lot of the times the selection statistics are a little bit skewed from former infatuations from the most recent seasons past, and that feels like that could be the case with Riley O'Brien. Definitely think that there's still improvement left in him, but I wouldn't want to take the punt against Gawn. Now, Tim English is an interesting selection. He's in 5% of teams at the moment, averaged 83 last year off 19 games at 448K. Now, huge, huge, huge step to be able to make it to that next level, having not done it before and being still pretty young. But he's filled out a fair bit body-wise, and talent-wise, he's one of the top in the competition. You know, we were talking about Brody Grundy in fairly similar terms, not sort of 5 years ago, and Tim English sort of similarly impressive in terms of his attributes. What do you reckon, Mark? Is that too risky?
I'm definitely a little bit interested in English because he's young in a side that could potentially improve, assuming they can get a lot of the ball, is a little bit of a Grundy type in that way. So I definitely think that there's something there, but like if you look at Grundy's score trajectory, he was averaging 90 in his third season, 95 in his fourth season, 97 in his fifth season, and it took till his sixth season to really break out. And I reckon that it's pretty hard to dominate the ruck at AFL level at a young player with only 28 games experience. So I think he could have a pretty decent season and show a bunch of improvement, and a player that's definitely on my future radar, but I think it might be a bit too early.
Yeah, especially when you compare him to Nick Nat. Nick Nat's 10K more, so that makes those selections really quite tough. Outside of these selections, Mark, we've got some step ladder selections who are even more bargain basement. And at this stage of the preseason, you would almost just consider them speculative. But nonetheless, we'll go through them. And if you have any comments or thoughts around any of these players to discuss, I feel like they're at the price bracket that you are a lot more comfortable, you know, assuming they'll get on park and do somewhat okay, you'll be a lot more comfortable taking a punt on them over the security of Max Gawn, just because they're so cheap, they present a lot of value. We've got Sam Naismith at 251K, had an injury-affected year last year, but certainly is ready for AFL. You got Ryan Abbott, who moved from Geelong to St Kilda at 251K. You've got Mark Pittenay, who moved from Hawthorn to Carlton at 236K. And you've got Zach Smith, who moved from Geelong as well to Gold Coast at 255K. If they can get on park for a decent chunk of the start of the year and get more games as the number one ruck than not, then they might be great selections. There are a lot of ifs with this scenario, and all of four of these might not start and might not work out at all. But if they showed some good preseason form, this is the sort of price bracket I'd be pretty tempted by. What do you reckon, Mark?
The only one that really interests me in that bracket is Naismith, and he interests me a little bit, actually. If something went wrong with Gawn, he could be the sort of Jared Witts type. I guess the fail factor is that if he struggles, it's really difficult to get out of the situation. But it's his fourth season, fifth year with the club. I think that he was a big factor in them trading Toby Nankervis, in that they rated Naismith as the better prospect going forward. So I think that there's definitely something there. I guess that Sinclair had a pretty decent year last year, but he's probably a better forward out of the two. So Naismith will still be the number one ruck, but we'll have to share that role a little bit, which will cap his scoring a bit. But for $250,000, it's a pretty good price. Depending on how it looks over the preseason, what his fitness is like, he's someone I'm definitely keeping an eye on.
I think we'll take a wait-and-see approach on Naismith, and we will talk about him before the preseason is out after we get to see a few games, Mark. Now, last section of players are the rookies, and we're really not going to spend a huge amount of time laboring the rookies because as we break up our preseason shows, we do the four positional shows, and then we do a fifth show, which is a rookies show and a bit of a recap post the preseason games. So we'll certainly dive into this in a lot more depth once we've seen the preseason, but just wanted to throw it out there. I mean, one of the best strategies that you could potentially go for if you weren't going for Gorn is to be able to pick up a rookie ruck instead, preferably one that is playing a number one ruck position like Witz was a few years ago. We'll read out the list here, and I've sorted them by ownership selection at the time of recording. So we've got Darcy Cameron at 36%, Charlie Combin for North at 18%, Matthew Conroy for Gold Coast at 14%, Luke Jackson for the D's at 6%, Draper for the Bombers at 6%, De Koning for Carlton at 2%, and Archie Smith for Lions at 2%. Now, some of these guys are just in there because they've been drafted, and you know, Conroy has a mature body. Luke Jackson was obviously a top draft pick. But some of these guys we know because they've been in the system and have been knocking on the ruck door for a little bit of time. So Darcy Cameron, certainly one of those now at Collingwood. You got Draper, who there was a bit of discussion about him leaving for big money even before getting a game, Mark. So be interested to hear what you think about him. We got Archie Smith, who's been banging the door down at Brisbane for a while now. Would you see yourself with a rookie R2 potentially, Mark? And would that be one of your preferred options?
I think there'd have to be some sort of preseason injury at the moment that indicated that one of these guys was actually going to play every week. So I'd love to have a rookie R2, but I just don't think it's very likely at the moment. I don't really see anyone on that list at the moment likely to get regular games. I'm not sure what...
What about Draper?
He won't be. I don't think he'll play round one in the VFL. So he was ready to come in last year when he got injured. If he hadn't have got done his ACL within 2 weeks, I think he actually would have been playing. He was scoring massive Supercoach points in the VFL just before that. So I think he was sort of definitely ready and about to come in. But that ACL is definitely putting back a bit. So I think we'll sort of ease him into the season. And we did recruit Phillips as well, who's probably sitting in that second ruck role at the moment for the Dons. So Draper's probably out at the moment. Luke Jackson, I don't know what his progress is like, may get some games, but $198,000 is a lot of money to be paying someone like that. So a little bit of a watch on the preseason on him. I don't think Darcy Cameron will play for Collingwood, but he's sitting at my R3 at the moment just because ruck forward eligibility as much as anything.
Yeah, well, maybe if Mason Cox has another stinker, they might put him in instead. But, yeah, no, it's a good point. Both on the steps ladder selections and on the rookies, we'll just keep an eye out for these blokes over the course of the preseason, and we'll check in again on them in the rookies and recap episode. So with that, that wraps up our ruck show. I think to recap the players that stood out a little bit more who were not gone, probably Sam Naismith with a bit of a wait and see. We had Jonathan Segler as potentially even an attractive forward option, Nick Knapp presenting a little bit of value as well, and Lysette as one that might be has shown the potential of potentially managing a 115, 120 type average if he gets more of that solo ruck role. But again, interesting to see in the preseason whether or not Dixon or whoever else might affect that, Laddams and so on. Anything else you'd like to mention to summarize the show with, Mark?
Yeah, and I think that you've done a really good job there of summarizing it, and that's kind of where I sit with most of it. When Gorn got injured, I definitely don't want him to miss games because I love watching him play, but I did find that to be quite an interesting thing because I think that would definitely stir up the competition a little bit by having some different strategies involved, and a bit of variation is always good. But I think that you'll find at this stage, based on the information that we have, that most competitive teams will be going in with a $1.4 million ruck.
All right, Mark. So with that, I will just do a few plugs and sign us off for the week again. We've got our ranked leagues registration for that is up on supercoachcoach.com.au/forums. If you haven't signed up for our forums before, you'll have to sign up in order to register. But we recommend you doing that and getting involved in the preseason conversation. And we've got unranked leagues as well. Both the ranked and unranked leagues, I'll post details of that in the podcast notes. So you can look to that if you want to get involved. And Patreon.com/supercoachcoach. Just a kind reminder again, very, very much appreciate the support, especially across the preseason. We make sure we do one bonus show to say thanks for every episode that we record of the normal show. And so we're off to go do that now, Mark. Thank you again for another show. And I'm looking forward to having watched a little bit more preseason football the next time we get together, Mark.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't make everything that we've said sound complete bullshit.
Yeah. All right, catch you next week. See ya. Yeah.